The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Mike, good afternoon. We're open line through till 1 o'clock today on Man in Line. So whatever you want to talk about, call, text, email and WhatsApp. Remember, this coming Thursday, Douglas South, MHKs, Claire Christian and Sarah Maltby will be on the air. So if you want to talk to them, then get your questions ready for Thursday. In the meantime, you and me, open line through till 1. And just to bring you up to date with what's happening regarding the steam packet, this morning's Manxman was cancelled, the sailing to Heysham. Consequently, there'll be no sailing coming back. There wasn't one last night, so no newspapers, of course, and certainly no Isle of Man newspapers. The Mananan sailed to Liverpool this morning, and the sailing's currently delayed. The 11:15 Liverpool back to Douglas is currently delayed. They're going to issue an update in about half an hour's time. Later on, the return Mananan to Liverpool from 3 o'clock, currently scheduled to go ahead because everything is going to calm down, relatively anyway, between now and then. Everything's fine at the airport. No real delays or problems where that's concerned. The departure EasyJet to Gatwick, 5 past 10, was delayed until 25 to 12, but really that's about it. Anyway, thoughts on Man in Line today. So whatever it is, we got lots and lots of messages I didn't really get to yesterday, and one was concerning the state of Manx agriculture, and in particular the production of food on the Isle of Man, and whether or not you buy Manx produce. And are you driven by price? Well, 538 said to me, well, not everybody is driven by price. A lot of people are. A lot of people are, bluntly, are in trouble the way things are at the moment. There is a problem with the cost of living, the cost of living crisis, as it's been called. And lots of people are buying on cost. And certainly food from across can be grown at scale, produced at scale, that we just can't match on the Isle of Man. So, do you buy Manx? That's another one to say. Certainly, this comes off the back of the problems that they've been having at the meat plant, which you still haven't got to the bottom of. There was a statement yesterday by the chair of the meat plant, but the reason you're getting a mail delivery on Saturday, I thought it was just my next-door neighbour sending round a letter that had been sent to them by mistake, but apparently the reason you're getting a mail delivery on Saturday is because the walk hasn't been taken out during the week and there's not enough postmen and women to cover daily walks. Recruitment is difficult when you ask people to work part-time hours in what should be a full-time job for just £11. An hour. Is that true? 109? Is there a problem recruiting for, and again, a kind of existential problem for the future of Isle of Man Post? Very, very proud when the post office was created in the early 1970s. And really, existentially, the post office's financial model, its business model, is under some stress at the moment. It is across as well. It is around the world because of the parcel courier system and also email. Social media. People just don't send letters like they used to send them. I think the government would work better if it was knitted, says Victoria. I'm sure it would. I agree with Juan, says 602. A big shout out for all the local producers and for the farmers' markets. I go to Ramsey's Farmers Market on the Quay for local produce. No support, no farmers, no food. It's as simple as that. You have to support local, says 602. And I mentioned yesterday about people, were there any Manx carrots? Thanks to you all. Thank you to the carrot constituency who've got to me and told me where I can buy Manx carrots. In fact, a few people told me where I can put the Manx carrots. I appreciate that. Regarding the trams, thanks to this correspondent who said, couldn't they at least bring the horse tram track into the cultural quarter outside the Gaiety Theatre by the Sefton? I thought that was the original intention. This is the, remember, we are the home of the halfway horse tram here. Still, they say there's a plan and there is a space next to the wall by the Herringbone parking on the promenade, the Lock Promenade. But there's no plan, really. Nobody's saying it's going to be done at a particular time. But then again, government's been held to timetables before. There was the Liverpool landing stage timetable. So wasn't that the original intention, to take the horse tram track there? People can get off, have meals at the Terminus Tavern and walk through Summerhill Glen as well. As it stands at the moment, basically a half a track, the halfway horse tram. Now, if I were coming here on holiday to enjoy the tram, if I'd paid money to come here, I'd be upset about it only being halfway along. So what is the plan for this? Well, the plan is, they always say, it is going to go. The horse trams will continue from, where is it now, basically at the end of Castle Mona Avenue. It will continue on past Broadway, on past the War Memorial, on past the Gaiety Theatre, and eventually to where it used to be by the Sea Terminal. But is that going to happen? And if it isn't going to to happen, why don't they just tell us anyway? Also, I got a message in from a business in Douglas who say they've been sent a... And maybe if you're a business, you've been sent this as well. It is the Business Income and Expenditure Survey 2024. Now, there was one for individuals for this income and expenditure. I don't know whether you've seen it. It's a big questionnaire, big thing. It's like a pamphlet, almost like a small book. And that is voluntary. Now, under Section 1 of the Statistics Act 1999, there's the Business Income and Expenditure Survey 2024. It is compulsory. You've simply got to do it. If your business is selected, the deadline for submission of the completed questionnaire is 31st of March 2024. If it's passed, you'll get another letter, quite a nasty letter, to say that your questionnaire is outstanding. And you have to... And here's the rub. If you don't answer this compulsory questionnaire, your business could be fined up to £5,000. And now, if you're a business, if you had one of these, is this common? But £5,000. Government wants to know your information, your statistics, your businesses. They say it's completely confidential. It's purely for statistical and that cross-referencing. But £5,000 just to get the stuff. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. Love to hear from you if you got something to say on that. And also regarding the meat plant. I think we should all get free steak, says Willie. I don't think that's not really an option, is it? Now, the vexed question of Dr. Allenson's assisted dying bill. Now, at the same time, we have a suicide strategy. Now, a lot of people think that this is distasteful. Some people think we shouldn't even be talking about it. Well, we are talking about it, and really we do have to talk about it, because government is, well, this proposed legislation, the private members bill from Dr. Allenson, is on the way. But at the same time, we have a problem. Suicide on the Isle of Man. More than 100 people from various sectors, including health, law enforcement, corrections, civil service, have undergone suicide prevention training as part of efforts to achieve zero suicides on the Isle of Man. The suicide prevention strategy, introduced a year ago, has prompted efforts between public health and third sector organisations to establish the groundwork for future initiatives. Now, lots of the third sector getting involved, and a lot of people have, it divides opinion. It's safe to say that the suicide, assisted dying bill divides opinion, and lots of people feel very strong both ways. Some people think that you should be allowed to end your life if you have a terminal illness and your life has become unbearable, that it is your life and you should be able to end that life. Some people think completely the opposite, that it, for various reasons, could be religious reasons, could be philosophical reasons, all sorts. But if you have something to say, then I'd really like your opinion, because, as I mentioned, it's something that lots of people are, I wouldn't say excited about, but certainly have opinions. And it would be a shame if we didn't hear yours. Oh, following on from that programme on BBC Four on Saturday, which is available on iPlayer, it's called Everything Went Fine. This explores the family difficulties with assisted dying, assisted suicide for your listeners. It's on the BBC Play Again thing, says John on 557. Thanks for mentioning that as well. The Nationals did come in this morning. I got my Daily Express with me now, says Chris in Port Erin. There were two RAF helicopters over the north of the Isle of Man yesterday, says Big Phil, 530. Yes, they were. There were two Chinooks. You know, the big helicopters with a rotor either end. I think they were over Andreas Airfield. I presume it was some sort of RAF exercise yesterday, but again, our RAF correspondents are trying to find out. Presumably they came from RAF Valley in North Wales on Anglesey. The webcams are showing cars driving along the mountain. The matrix signs are saying that there are high winds on the mountain road at the moment. So if you're driving, and presumably you're not taking a high-sided vehicle, so just watch out. High winds on the mountain road. I'm joined by John Moss from Manx Radio News. Hi, John.
Yeah, this is to do with roads as well. I've just had a call from the listener who's on the old Castletown Road clearing the drains. There's leaves and everything being brought down, and it's blocking the drains. Now, as he's doing it, cars are shooting past. He's got a fluorescent jacket on. He's trying to keep the road clear of water, but cars coming up there are completely ignoring him, apparently.
Whereabouts?
Back Castletown Road on the turn-off to Port Greenock, on that area. Yeah. But I think anywhere where people are out actually trying to keep the roads clear of water by keeping the leaves, because they've all been blown down and blocking up the drains, clearing them away. If you see someone in the road with a fluorescent jacket on, chances are that they are trying to do some good and to help motorists, and you're not helping by going past and whooshing them with a big sploosh of water.
Do yourself and them a favour and slow down.
Just particularly in these conditions, and also you're going to get bits and pieces on the road as well you have to watch out for, but just watch out for those. Watch out for people as well who are trying to help.
And also, you never know, because if you're driving through an amount of water, there could be anything underneath. It could be stone, could be a big stone, could be a brick or anything. So watch out by Port Greenock. Thank you, John.
Could be a pothole.
Could be a pothole. Crikey, no, we don't have those. Thank you, John. Do be careful today, and please drive to the conditions, because the water's going to be with us for a wee while longer. Thanks also to many people. Thanks also for the photos of those Chinooks yesterday. Very nice. No survey is confidential if your name is on it, says Michael. They can whistle for mine. Well, it says this is a business survey, and it is sent from the Cabinet Office Income and Expenditure Survey that is compulsory. But you've got to do it. It's mandatory. They've sent you one, and if you don't, you can be fined up to £5,000. Now, they can get information from all over the place, from the tax authorities, from the Customs and Excise, NI, but this, I don't know. If you're a bit in business, have you been subject to this before, and what's your thought about this? It seems the government would rather cover the fields with houses than support the farmers who feed us, say Alan. We have to square that circle, don't we, Alan? The island plan is to have 15,000 more people. We have to build lots of houses. Housing comes up time and time and time and time again, specifically for young people. Again, we spend a fortune, a lot of public money, educating young people, often sending them off to university. And then if they can't come back and get a decent job or then purchase a house, a lot of them just stay across and go there because they can buy cheaper houses in the UK. So how do we do this? Somebody's got to think very creatively about where we do this. Assisted dying isn't what it seems, says Anne. Not what it seems. Why do you think 84% of our doctors are opposed to it? I urge listeners to look at the Manx Duty of Care group Facebook page and watch a video of the geriatric consultant at Nobles, Duncan Jerry, Dr. Jerry there. He's very against this legislation. Thank you, Anne. Thanks for that information. I think the more we talk about this, the more we can have a civilised conversation about what it is that we're trying to do. You've heard Dr. Allison talk about it many times. We've heard all sorts of people. And again, I'd like your opinion. If you have an opinion on assisted dying, it isn't the most edifying of subjects, but, well, it's going to come to us all eventually. David's on with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. I just want to bring us back a little bit to Jeff Robinson. And you remember some time ago we had the consultation on large vehicles?
Yes.
Which extended to camper vans and so forth.
Now, this was, let's just get it straight. Jeff Robinson, is he Director of Highways at DOI?
I think he's gone up a little bit now. He might be something different.
Right.
And I just wonder, because there's somebody taking his job, is a lady called Blessing. I can't remember the other name on it there, but my issue is what happened to the consultation? Did it just fall out into the mist?
Now, this was off? This the one that the department sent out to local authorities about parking large vehicles in residential areas?
Yeah, and home zones. I mean, that's the issue. We have a lot of home zones in Onchan and other places in the Isle of Man. I'm not speaking on behalf of the local authority. They cover my backside a little bit. But I am concerned about the number of people still getting on to me about, we never concluded this. And people are right. We never got the answer one way or the other. Was government going to provide facilities where trucks and stuff can park? You were talking the other day about when builders had a planning application. Normally, a builder would have a big yard, or they're probably smaller now. And I do appreciate that small companies do work outside the back of the van. But it doesn't stop them actually being considerate to their neighbours and the community and where they park these things overnight or long weekends like we've had at Easter there.
And the issue being that a lot of these estates were planned in the 1950s and 60s when, A, cars were a lot smaller and there were far fewer of them.
Well, on the UK this morning, I listened to the news there as well. They were talking about the size of space for parking of a car. And it's quite right now. The vehicles are becoming larger and larger now. And people, I see them when I'm looking at Chester Street and the Marx's car park and others are available there, where people have large vehicles. And can you notice where, I'm not being discriminated against them, but people don't park against large vehicles because the doors open wider and you get those little chips on the edge of your car, don't you?
Yes, you do.
And I just wondered what's happening. And one of the suggestions I was going to ask is maybe not get the minister on, maybe ask Jeff for to come on the programme, or the new person that's running the DOI. Or, I believe from a conversation this morning, that the MLC, Mrs. Kinnish, is responsible for highways. I know Mr. Stu Peters is responsible for buses and bus stops. And it's an absolute embarrassment. I'm going to photograph today the bus stop on Governor's Road. It's an absolute disgrace. It's never been cleaned, and the one down by Royal Avenue there. And all it takes is somebody to come along with a jet washer, power wash it, and then move on. They used to do it.
And also, I've talked about, I mean, I think I may have mentioned before the state of Lord Street bus stops, but it just amazes me the fact that for literally a few quid, you can get these dot matrix signs that will feed into the GPS in the buses, and they will tell you when the next bus is coming.
Yeah.
Now, well, everywhere else seems to have them, but we don't have any on the Isle of Man, and we have quite a few buses, and, you know, we have quite a few tourists as well.
Yeah, and we've got all this technology. We want to punch above our weight, don't we? And we want to make this experience coming into the summer and then towards TT, and then after that, the summer holidays, make that experience for the people when they come here. They want to enjoy it, being in the Isle of Man, and say that was a great place to be.
And
so when they go,
that's interesting, and that's a really good phrase, to punch above our weight. Why shouldn't we punch above our weight? What's stopping us?
I don't know. The thing is that we haven't got the staff. They trot out. I'll give you a couple of examples with government now. You put a complaint in regarding a pothole or a half a road which has got a rut in it. There's an absolute beauty outside the commissioner's offices going over to the Methodist church in the middle of the road. Now, I won't tell you the man who told me. He said it's not deep enough, or it doesn't fall into their criteria. And I've asked them, what is the criteria? It used to be, one time I used to put a 50p in a hole and then photograph it, and that was the benchmark. You like you do in a tyre,
yeah.
You know, when the tread's going a little bit there. But I'd love to know, or maybe ask the MLC, because MLCs are paid, so they should be doing things again. I may disagree with Rob about them getting involved. I don't mind, and I'm sure the people on the Isle of Man, everywhere around the Isle of Man, wouldn't mind if an MHK was doing something else and an MLC was getting on with something that they could actually do and achieve. And that would be a consensus, isn't it?
Okay.
Talk to the local authorities in conjunction with each other, the police and the DOI, and get the jobs done. We used to have what we call a jet patcher, which is a brilliant machine which used to patch holes for temporary periods. But you've got to make the decision. If you patch the hole 20 times in a year, is there something wrong with that hole?
Have we still got the jet patcher, I wonder?
Well, a question I'd love to ask Mrs. Kinnish, MLC, when she comes on. Hopefully you'll get her on, because there's nothing stopping you asking some of the MLCs to say, what are they doing in the department? What's your responsibility? Mm. How many meetings have you had? Where are you moving forward? Have you got a budget to go with it? If not, you know.
And we'd like to know, first thing again, what happened to this consultation with the local authorities over parking in home zones and residential areas? Okay.
Yeah, and I've still got a large camper van, which I think is an absolute wreck, in Belgravia Road near Onken Park. And we had a good weekend before. Loads of people coming to the park and enjoying themselves. And I'll print a picture sometime and send it to you.
Okay.
And look at it.
All right.
It's really awful. Bye.
Good. Cheers now. Good to hear from you. 29 minutes after 12 on Manx Radio. Well, DOI is like this. The minister is Tim Crookall, MHK. The chief officer is Emily Curfee. The two members are Stuart Peters, MHK, and, as David mentioned, Dawn Kinnish, MLC, in there. So it'd be interesting to know what happened to that survey and whether or not the local authorities reported back. So they were two Chinook helicopters from 28 Squadron that were over the north of the island yesterday, based at RAF Odium in Hampshire. That's a long way. They're taking part in Exercise Kukri Dawn, Archer Kukri Club, which tests new pilots before they get their final flying qualification. The exercise based at RAF Valley in North Wales. So there we are, two Chinook helicopters. If you spotted them yesterday around Andreas, that's what... I don't know whether... Did they land or... Maybe they nipped in. Anyway, Exercise Kukri Dawn. Thank you for that, our RAF correspondents. Why did the government not take over Ramsay Bakery, says Sean in Ramsay? Keep the staff. This would have meant nobody out of work. I looked after the mill wheat. The farmers can sell wheat all local, says Sean. Well, the interesting thing is no milling wheat was sown. So there's stuff stored at Laxey Glen Mills. All sorts of rumours about Laxey Glen Mills, whether the buildings are going to be sold off and the mills will end up at Jerby. But I don't think the government were interested in taking over Ramsay Bakery. Would you really want the government to be running a bakery? Can you imagine what would happen? Seems the government, says Alan, would rather cover the fields with houses rather than support farmers who feed us. Don't blame the developers for building houses. The farmers decide to sell the land in the first place, says David. And also a message in regarding the van drivers as well. Leave the van drivers alone. This will only end up costing the working man money, and we haven't got any left due to the rates and tax rises, says Alan. However, when you get big vans, and I'm not having a go at the van drivers, it may sound like I am, but I'm not, because somebody higher up will be responsible. But if housing estates that were planned in the 1950s, sometimes 40s, when cars and vehicles were a lot smaller and far fewer people had them. You now have residential areas choked with vehicles, and often large vehicles, large vans parked outside somebody else's house. It's not nice, is it? You probably wouldn't like it if it happened. We're shuddering against the pier. 3 hours this has been. Hats off to the crew. This is the Manxman. Hats off to the crew, as those stuck on board have just been offered food and drink. The situation regarding The Mananan set off this morning at 7:05, arrived in Liverpool at 10:15. The sailing should have gone at 11:15. The sailing's currently delayed. Another update in just over 10 minutes' time.
The legendary Pie and Mash train is back, with fantastic pies as always from the caterers at the Ticket Hall, including the Station Master's beef, booze and root vegetable pie, leeky chicken pie and roasted root vegetable and butter bean pie, all with sides, plus a fully stocked bar with local ales. Pie and Mash runs on selected Thursdays throughout the season until November. To book, visit rail.im or call 697 457.
You could win £10,000 in the Hospice Lottery April Super Draw. This will be the biggest ever jackpot in the history of the Hospice Lottery, with a guaranteed prize of £10,000. Plus, all players will have the extra chance to win our usual 42 guaranteed cash prizes. There's never been a better time to play the Hospice Lottery, a fun and easy way to support hospice and the people we care for. Enter the Super Draw at hospice.org.im/lottery. Alternatively, call 672222 or visit any of our shops for tickets.
No matter how much you need to dig, or how much you want to dump, Fox Group Isle of Man offer an extensive range of plant hire, long-term lease and sales. We're the island's exclusive supplier for Louis Gong excavators with immediate delivery. Our machinery comes with a complete service package with finance plan options. Call John on 458946 to discuss your plant needs. Fox Group Isle of Man, part of the Fox Group of companies.
As your public service broadcaster, it's crucial for Manx Radio to mirror the Isle of Man. That's why we're asking the question, what matters most? We want to know your opinions of the nation station and island life. Your thoughts could play a vital part in shaping our news and current affairs programmes. Go now to manxradio.com to take part in our short online survey. And as a thank you for taking part, you'll be entered into a prize draw to win either dinner, bed and breakfast for two at the Manon Hotel, a £100 heating or road fuel voucher from Ellen Van and Fuels, or a 12-month family pass for the Gravel Glen Railway. What matters most? Take part now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, it's 12:55 on Manx Radio. And I got a note in, it's a WhatsApp in actually, from Kay, who just said, afternoon, I was disgusted to read about the vandalism on the toilets in Castletown. Some of these people, it is children, they reckon, are this becoming feral. I don't know whether you spotted this, but vandalism is continuing in Castletown public toilets. Attempts were made to kick doors off cubicles and block drains. The toilet block in Castletown was closed over the weekend due to continued vandalism. The most recent damage includes attempts to kick off women's cubicle doors and frequent attempts to block drains and start fires at the town hall and tennis court facilities. Now, the commissioners say they reckon they hope to have out-of-hours and vandal-proof toilets available soon. They say staff at the local authority have limited resources for checking antisocial behaviour, and public-spirited members of the public have been intervening to help. Now, the commissioners have currently got a vacancy for a general labouring job, which assists with cover at the weekend or evenings during the summer. Now, if you want more information about that general labouring job at Castletown Commissioners, telephone number for the Commissioners is 825005. That's 825005. You file this, really, along with people who litter. People who don't clear up after their dog. And quite what you can do with people who are determined to behave in an antisocial manner. Really, the vast majority of people live their lives perfectly fine, perfectly happy, not getting in anybody else's way. But really, if your attempt to make an impact on life is to kick off the doors of women's toilet cubicles, really, you're not aiming very high. And let's hope that stops as well. if you're in and around Castletown, interested in your opinion as to, you know, what can be done about it. Oats seem to be the preferred crop rather than milling wheat, says John on 557. Why don't the DIY jet wash all road signs and mileposts with a mould cleaner? Also, I think instead of working out how to keep ratepayers' bins emptied on time and opening a new children's play area on the promenade, says Andy, that's what we should be doing. And are we installing pygmy hippos in Summerhill Glen? I don't know, Andy. There's a GPS bus tracker already in place on the Isle of Man. You need to search Find My Bus, Isle of Man. Thank you for that, 288. But I don't know whether you've noticed, if you've been off the island, and lots of bus stops, and this has been happening for years, 20, 25 years it started, I think, where there will be GPS, little dot matrix signs above the bus stop, and it will tell you when the next bus is coming. 10 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 30 minutes, it will just tell you. It's really easy to do. And when we get those thousands and thousands of visitors who come to the Isle of Man for TT, 700, pre-TT, Manx Grand Prix, anything else for that matter, wouldn't it be nice to kind of bring ourselves into the 21st century and have those sort of things here? So, but thanks for that, 288. Good to know it is there as well. I don't believe in assisted dying because there is only one that knows where our time is up and he will call us home when the time comes, says Sue in Port Erin. Thanks for that. Thanks also to people with opinions about the... This was about... Oh, this was it. Developing and as well, it's about people selling land. Well... Of course, it's only worth something if it's got planning permission on it. And do you blame anybody? Do you blame farmers, for that matter? Because agriculture at the moment isn't the most lucrative profession to be in. But there we are. The newspapers came in late this morning on the Arrow, says Paul Q. The Examiner didn't, but it's hoped it will come in later. From Texter 653, Andy, suicide prevention and assisted dying are two complex, separate issues, shouldn't be put together. Also, if someone's against assisted dying, that's fine, but that shouldn't influence the choice of others. My body, my choice. Let's bring assisted dying in and join a compassionate 21st century society, says Texter 653. Well, it's not just me, and I'm not doing it, you know, my opinion is worthless in this situation. It's your opinion that matters, but some people do conflate the two, that there will be an assisted, either state will provide a way for somebody to end their life, but on the other hand, we have a suicide prevention strategy, i.e. we're trying to prevent some people from taking their own lives and facilitating other people. And I know they're not the same thing, but this is a situation that we're in now. Jersey's in it, lots of other places are in it. But it does engender a lot of reaction. Lots of people have an opinion on this, but thanks for that. Assisted dying is usually for totally different reasons other than suicide, although people who can't access assisted dying sometimes have to resort to taking their own lives to escape suffering. Obviously, assisted dying candidates will be carefully monitored and counselled, so this might actually prevent personal suicide for those who can be helped in other ways and who have hope of a quality of life. Access to assisted dying is very specific. Not everyone who requires it will get it. There seem to be people who haven't grasped the concept deliberately or otherwise. Sweeping it under the carpet is not solving anything. Thank you, Sue. Manx Care are seemingly cutting MCALs and other non-acute services back. The Isle of Man is clearly in a worse state than we're being told. Well, actually, I think there's an MCALS session tomorrow. Well, actually, there's one on tomorrow and on Thursday. The MCALS drop-in session tomorrow, Wednesday the 10th, is in Peel at the Peel Charity Shop on Shaw Road from 11 till 1. Just show up. MCALS are going to be there. If you've got an inquiry or a concern about care, you need help or you don't know where to start, they'll give advice on appointments, waiting lists, referrals into services, how to register with a GP or a dentist. Right, giving feedback about your experiences. So MCAL's drop-in session tomorrow, Peel Charity Shop in Shore Road, Peel, from 11 till 1. And on Thursday, the Jerby Health and Community Centre at the Jerby West Industrial Estate, 9:30 to midday. Those are the MCAL's drop-in sessions.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
18 minutes now before 1, and 447, Jim says, if we still had the birch, I don't think we would have as much antisocial behaviour. Yeah, but state-administered corporal punishment went out a long time ago, isn't it? But it's your thoughts, it's your opinion. Thank you, Jim. Regarding the vandalism in Castletown Lewes, CCTV is cheaper to install against repairs to property. Why don't the commissioners wake up? Sadly, it's the world we live in now. Would you go into a loo with CCTV? Vandalism in toilets. It will inevitably be two or three or more people who think it's fun to do it. That's the impact they can make on the world, is to vandalise things. At some point, they'll wake up. When they get older, they'll really, really regret it. It's just a shame they don't now.
Your home's got more style with Lifestyle Furniture. More luxurious beds, more sumptuous sofas, more beautiful living and dining furniture, plus made-to-measure curtains and blinds, art, accessories, lighting, and more. Visit our main showroom at Snugborough Trading Estate, Union Mills, or pop into our second home at Tynwald Mills, St John's, for boutique collections and exclusive designer brands. For everything your home's been waiting for, and more, it's your Lifestyle Furniture.
There's monkeys and meerkats, penguins galore. You can meet with a panda, owls, lemurs and more.
The Currax Wildlife Park is open 7 days a week. So book your tickets and experiences online now at currackswildlifepark.im.
Heating oil for homes, powering farms and businesses, keeping you moving with petrol stations across the island. Ellen Vannin Fuels. Call us on 84 4000.
Above deck or below, Harbour Marine Services has all your boating needs in one place. From engine sales and servicing to charts, books, dinghies and trailers, electronics, navigation, ropes, rigging and safety. Over 2,000 square feet of stock to help you stay safe on the water. Call 822995 or find us on Facebook. For all your chandlery supplies, set your course to Harbour Marine Services, next to Castledown Harbour.
Hot on the heels of our 60th anniversary, we're back on the Ross Revenge this weekend for another Radio Caroline North. We're playing the best music from the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s, and we've got money to give away to spend in the Radio Caroline web shop, and the whole weekend is sponsored by Turton Tower Woodland Cafe. Join us here on the Ross Revenge, live with Manx Radio.
1368 and 648 AM.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's a quarter to one. Eddie's with us now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. All right?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Your voice sounds like mine. I cannot get shut of it. I've had it since just after Christmas. It's lingering, isn't it?
Yeah, it's certainly around and about, you see. You need to eat three oranges a day, apparently, they tell me.
I think somebody told me it's they're trying to shut us up.
Well, they have a job anyway.
I know. Two little things. I was listening to the thing you were saying about the survey. £5,000 fine. I know myself and a lot of others that I speak to about these surveys, we actually put a lot of nonsense on them, because if all of a sudden you're getting this survey and you think, that's none of their business, you're going to put any old thing down. So I don't think these surveys actually do anything, simply because of that fact.
Have you had that personal one come through the door?
Well, I'm not in business. I'm retired.
No, there's another one, but there was a personal one. There was a household income and expenditure survey that came round. It was about 25 pages. Did you get that?
I did, and I put a load of absolute load of nonsense on it.
I mean, it was you had to do it on paper, didn't you? It was longhand. You had to fill the darn thing out.
I know, and we everything about it we disagreed with, so we put an absolute load of nonsense on. I think one of the items I put down that I'd won the lottery. Am I liable for tax on that? But I've never had a reply back, anything. So they must be looking at it the way I've looked at it. Waste of time. But the other thing I was thinking, you made comments, or there's been a few comments about a lot of farming just going down the drain.
Yep.
And the government not really helping in any way. Why is it that the whatever department that is, agriculture and whatever, fisheries and so on, why haven't they not seen this coming? Because I can remember a few years back they were saying when the Ukraine war started that the price of fertiliser and things was going to go sky high.
Yeah, 200% it went up.
Well, I think it went from £200 to well over £1,000, yeah, didn't it?
Absolutely shot up, yeah.
Yeah. Well, why is it that if the Isle of Man government want to keep our farmers and our agricultural things afloat, why aren't they giving some sort of a help towards that? I mean, they waste money everywhere else, but to keep... to keep the agriculture going here would be everything that they're talking about, carbon footprint, everything.
Well, certainly, as you say, if food is produced here, the carbon footprint, the food miles they talk about, would be absolutely negligible. I mean, everybody buys stuff in the supermarket that's come from here, there and everywhere. Avocados coming from the Middle East or from Portugal or South Africa. Fruit from here, there and everywhere. Everybody does it. And yet we have very fertile land on the Isle of Man. Surely we should be making the most of that.
Well, I do. I mean, there's a newspaper article about the farm near me, Cools. Their spuds are great. They're dead on every year. They bang on the spuds. Nice. Fair price, everything. I also get carrots from there and a couple of other things. But it sounds as though he's being forced out of it because because of the price of fertilizer and things like that costs. So why, if the government want to keep them, why not subsidize some of these things? I mean, one thing that struck me was, is it Maryvale, the place down there?
Maryvale, the sewage place, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think there's a place in Manchester, you might have heard of Davy Hume, Manchester Sewage Works.
Yeah.
They used to actually, excuse me, they used to use all their, make fertiliser from there and bag it. I believe it's health and safety that's put one or two little bits in the way over the years.
Well, but I'm sure they used to do that at Maryvale. They dried the whole thing out, and I think it was going to be... I never knew whether that's still available for people to get or what happened to it, but when Maryvale was built, I remember getting the cook's tour of it and them telling them that's what they can do with it.
That's right. Well, why not then, you know, do that and help the farmers in that way? And if they can't do that, then give them some sort of subsidy so that our footprint stays the same and farmers get a fair living instead of going bankrupt.
OK, all right. Thanks, Eddie.
OK, mate.
Cheers now. 10 to 1 on Manx Radio, and thanks also to WhatsApper 535. Sent me a disturbing photo, dreadful photo, of what was left at Silverdale over the Easter weekend. I picked it all up and I binned it, says this WhatsApper. It was 14 beer cans, one plastic water bottle, bacon and cheese and Rizzler packets all round a bonfire. So if people can carry full containers there, why can't they bin them and bring it back? That was in Silverdale. Well, what do you do? How do you appeal to someone's better nature if, frankly, they don't have one? If they're determined, if they think that litter isn't their responsibility, think how they live their lives. If they can't pick up a dozen beer cans and take it back, what can you do? Add to your list of litter, dog mess, is chewing gum. Surely spitting out chewing gum should be banned. Chewing gum should be banned. Defacing all the new pavings. Well, we were talking, and thank you, by the way, to my friend Richard, who gave me the book all about Singapore. It's how Singapore has reinvented itself and how they brand it, how they run society in Singapore. It was Lee Kuan Yew who started it all, but thank you to Richard for that. I'm halfway through that. Singapore, it's banned. You spit chewing gum out in Singapore, you get nicked. You get your collar felt. Regarding Mananan, it wasn't pleasant getting off today. The staff did a great job getting us off in small numbers, and I remember being tied up at the old landing stage and the cutlery sliding off the tables. It was that rough. Everybody's got those stories, haven't they? Excuse me, but this is funny. Thank you to Elsie, who just said, haven't they just spent £380,000 doing up Mananan, putting brand new carpets and brand new upholstery? And can you imagine? It must be ankle deep there. We need better water retention upstream and rivers to be put back to natural states so they can slow the water down. Also need to stop allowing vegetation and trees to be removed from the riverbanks. And also, has Stu Peters got a long-term voice problem since he gained his key seat? He's never stopped knocking the government when he was at Manx Radio, says David. He was on recently, wasn't he, with Jane Paul Wilson when we did a middle constituency. Had his say then, didn't he? And it might be interesting to know whether the Sulby Hydroelectric Power Station is whizzing around at the moment. That'll save us some gas, won't it? The turbine, I think 2 600-kilowatt water turbines on Sulby. Block Erie is the pipeline there and the little reservoir that does it. And there's that big pipeline from Sulby that sends the water down to hydroelectric, but we don't have that. Maybe that's something that Manx Utilities can do. Have a little website we can go to and see where all the power stations, what they're generating. But certainly nowadays, hydroelectric will be absolutely whizzing around at the moment because we're not short of water today. I had a litter drop of McDonald's garbage and reported it to the police. It had the receipt and the time of sale. Seemed an easy one to solve. Never heard anything ever again, says 223. And I don't know whether you remember, you know, Bill Dale, the guy who started Beach Buddies, famous around the world now, Bill. But he reckons it will be simple to solve, and the technology is absolutely there. And it is that when people get takeaway food from takeaway from places like the fast food people, the KFC and McDonald's and what have you, that they could print or burn, do a thermal image onto it of a barcode. And then if somebody then found that and it was litter, if they'd thrown it somewhere, it could be taken to the police. They could read the barcode and it would be traced back to the person who did it. Absolutely. Now you say, what about personal data? Well, the police, the government seem to be asking for personal data when it comes to that company. That company survey, £5,000 fine. If you don't, it's compulsory, mandatory, got to do it. So how do we do it? Do you think it's worth doing? Do you think that's something we should do to make the Isle of Man look better? Or do we rely on people's better nature? And frankly, to people like Beach Buddies to go around picking up litter. You got any thoughts? Then text, email, call and WhatsApp. Lots of messages coming in today. And lots of WhatsApps as well. Thanks for that. If you want to WhatsApp us, you'll have to have us in your contacts, by the way. And thanks also to the people sending, old photos. What happens when you don't maintain rivers on the Isle of Man? It was in the 1930s before they straightened the Sulby River, says correspondent 608. Those were the days. Now, the organiser of the festival that celebrates the Celtic and Viking culture in Peel says the event had to be cancelled because Peel Town Commissioners objected to the sponsors. E. Walden. Big event. You know, the Fire Festival takes place in May on the beach and attracts about 6,000 people. Now, the people behind Evolden are, to be quite honest, a bit miffed that it's not happening. John Shakespeare, you may know John, was in the travel business for a long time. I think he's a blue badge guide now as well. Says the lack of support from the local authority has stopped it from going ahead. It was a collaboration with Bushes and Fenodry, the distillery.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
So you have any thoughts on that? We're just about out of time now, but maybe talk about that tomorrow. The Evolden, the Fire Festival. Big, big event. Took lots and lots of time to get together, and lots of the people involved were volunteers. If you were in Peel, around Peel, or you remember Evolden, then drop a note. Maninline at manxradio.com. The answer phone, 682-631. Back with an open line tomorrow, and remember Thursday, Sarah Maltby, MHK, Claire Christian, MHK, both Douglas South MHKs. If you live in the constituency, maybe you have something to say. In Ballafton, Paul Rose, Annika, or elsewhere. Gets absolutely choked with traffic, morning and night, maybe not today. But any thoughts on that? And thanks to Chris Quirk on the phones today. Watch out for the weather. Looks like it's brightening up. And enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
WINT